Hi, everyone.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Too Niche.
The podcast that hauls.
The podcast that hauls, exactly. We take a topic and we deep dive into it. Each week it's different. And
I love it when we go seasonal.
You love a season. Mm-hmm. I can get on board.
Yeah.
And this week's episode, we're going to get a little spooky and a little kooky.
Well, it's Spooktober after all.
And we are hauling Cursed Movie Productions. So the way that we are approaching a cursed movie production is, number one, was like paranormal or scary shit happening on set. Did it happen afterwards? Was there like a ghostly presence of some sort or like a cursed presence?
Or was the internet just spooky about said project?
Did the internet curse it before it could even find its legs? Or was it like supposed to be a hit and then the curse is that it was like the biggest box office flop of all time?
Yeah, so it's a real mixed bag. It's going to be an education. Are you into paranormal things?
Definitely.
Okay. Do you watch paranormal shows?
I don't watch paranormal shows, but I love horror movies and I love hearing about or reading about paranormal activities. I don't want to experience any paranormal activities. I feel like I've come close a couple of times, but I thankfully know how to send a spirit away like immediately. And so I don't give them chances to like linger.
Not here.
Yeah. I say, you're not welcome here. Like you got to leave.
I'm not from me, but my fiance is a big Zach Bagans guy. So it's a big ramped up for ghost adventures in the household. It's 24/7 all October.
What is he like, Ghost Hunters or something?
Ghost Adventures.
Okay.
The number one show on the Travel Network.
Wow.
There's 17 seasons. I've seen every episode, if at least twice.
Do you believe them?
No, but it is one of the best comedies on television. Like, these guys are hilarious.
They're really serious
They're doing some improv work. They're doing a lot of, like, space work.
Do they take it really seriously? And
yes.
That's what's funny about it?
Yeah.
So they're unintentionally funny.
It's some real shtick happening over there.
I like that.
But they tour the country. They go to a lot of places. They go to a lot of places in L.A. They did, like, the Comedy Store. They did that hotel downtown with
Hotel Figueroa, or no, the one
Cecil or whatever.
Oh,
that one is
goodbye. I will not be going.
They did
there.
The Fairfax Silent Movie Theater.
That's haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Allegedly. So I've learned a lot.
I've done like a seance and stuff like that, which I believe that spirits or messages came through.
Yeah.
I can really fuck with that kind of thing.
All this to say, I'm just primed for any paranormal conversation.
Yeah. October ushers in spooky season, and I like to watch scary movies or movies that I consider to be scary movies. Like, I watched Safe last night.
Haven't seen that.
Oh, my God. You might like it, actually.
Okay.
Because aesthetically, it's like really beautiful and I feel like up your alley, and it takes place in 1987 in the San Fernando Valley, and it's very like 1980s interiors and clothing.
Okay.
And a young Julianne Moore. And she plays, you would actually really like it, she plays this housewife named Carol who is beset by some sort of like mystery illness, and she can't figure out what's wrong with her, and like doctors can't figure out what's wrong with her, and she ends up kind of going to like a wellness retreat to get to the bottom of things.
Right up my alley.
It's right up your alley.
Wow.
But it's also just like filled with dread, which so much wellness stuff, I would argue the best wellness stuff is a mixture of
fueled
dread.
By dread. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But that felt very like spooky to me.
I'm more of like a Megan type scary
as I like to call her.
Yeah, I like them to be
silly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do like a silly
because I'm sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So if there isn't a dance break, I don't know if I can.
There's some aerobics in this one.
Okay.
And nothing like terrifying happens. It's just kind of like a low grade dread and really aesthetically pleasing the entire time.
I am watching the American Horror Story Delicate right now, which is a true mess.
You're needing to be 5150 for that.
Honestly, I can't help it. Kimberly Noel gets me to things.
The level of mess that that show is, like, I forgot because I used to really fuck with AHS. And by that, I mean, like, I watched two seasons. And then by the third one, I was like, the mess alert is on high and I've got to disengage. But like, I like the storyline of a Rosemary's Baby or like a cursed pregnancy. And Kim obviously is a huge draw. And I was like, you know what? Despite Cara Delevingne playing like an Emily the Strange kind of character, like I will dip my toe in the water and see. And sure enough, it right off the bat was mess. And I was like, I gotta go.
So mess. But the lines that they make Kim say are so funny. They have her saying things like murder Suey. It's just.
And she's good. I was liking her acting.
Fine.
My only frame of reference for her acting is the Tyler Perry movie that she was in, where she had two lines and they were so bad. Like 100% the worst part of that movie, which was already like a terrible movie, but also kind of like high camp.
She's evolved from her Tyler Perry days.
She took an acting class. She got off her ass and worked.
She did. But it's just, I feel like there's just a whole joke of like, what can we make Kim say?
Mm-hmm.
Which that's the only thing worth tuning in for. And Logan from Gilmore Girls.
Is he the boyfriend or husband guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, but everything is...
Everything else is not it.
Is just...
Nothing has happened. We're three episodes in and it's the same thing for the past three episodes.
It's just so bizarre to me, like how this show... It also is not scary.
No, it's bleak.
It's... Mom, congrats to Ryan Murphy.
On another flop.
I wish a curse would fucking happen.
Yeah, I think there is one. I'm going to call it now.
Like, when will the curse, though,
be revealed?
Rear its ugly head?
Yeah.
Not soon enough.
Okay, so we're about to take a trip down memory lane.
Okay, let's start with my earliest knowledge of a cursed movie production. And one of the first horror movies that I ever saw that radicalized me and made me a fan for life. And that's the Twilight Zone movie.
I've never seen it.
So underrated, like gets no play, and it's an anthology. So there's, I want to say, four or five different short films that make up the movie itself. Obviously, it's based off of the popular TV show, but I just remember, I think it was my dad telling me, because he's the person that showed me scary movies at like too young of an age growing up and like turned me on to them. But I think he told me that during the making of the movie, there was a helicopter crash and one of the actors got his head chopped off by a helicopter blade. And that stuck with me, like imprinted on my young developing brain. And then that plus just the movie being very scary, a fan for life. So it's a scene where this like kind of like racist barfly type of guy finds himself just like all of a sudden like transported to Nazi Germany and like Vietnam, and when he's like transported to these places, he becomes like one of the Jews that's like put on a train to a death camp, or he's like one of the like Vietnam like city folk that's like running away from American soldiers. So like it's like putting him in the position of like the marginalized people that are being like having like horror wrought upon them. And then during the scene that's supposed to be like his Vietnam scene, he's carrying two children to safety. And I think that is when the helicopter crashed. It was hovering over him. And the pilot turned the aircraft 180 degrees to the left for the camera shot. And the effect was detonated. I guess there was supposed to be kind of like an explosion that was detonated while the helicopter's tail rotor was still above it. And then the rotor detached from the tail and the helicopter spun out of control, and then the helicopter fell on top of Vic Morrow and the children, decapitating him and one of the kids, and then crushing the other one to death.
What year was this?
1982. So the trial, the defense claimed that the explosions were detonated at the wrong time, and apparently the helicopter pilot and an assistant cameraman were like, let's get out of here. Like, this is too hectic. What's going on in this scene? Because they were hovering so low to the ground. But then they said that John Landis kept shouting, get lower and lower. And then they lost control and like realigned. And then there was an investigation. All the parents said that they were never told helicopters were going to be on set. Landis and then like a bunch of other guys were tried and acquitted on charges of manslaughter in a 9-month trial. But the movie is
was a hit. No.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a hit or not. Steven Spielberg directed one of the segments, and I guess he broke off his friendship with John Landis afterward.
Well, yeah, the optics. I am learning so much. I didn't even know Twilight Zone was a movie. I thought it was strictly a TV show.
Lots of people like don't know about the Twilight Zone movie, and it's so good.
Add it to my list.
It has a lot of like cameos in it. Like there's like even one just like tiny scene with Dan Aykroyd that's like, oh, I have chills thinking of it, which was like the first thing. It was like one of the first things my dad showed me, because he liked to like show me these movies to really freak me out. So I have like a bunch of movies that came out in like late 80s, or like that I was shown during the 80s and 90s that left lasting impressions.
I was that, but it was all R-rated musicals like Flashdance and Chorus Line.
Oh, I love that.
My mom let me see all of those at Blockbuster. If it had a musical number, I was allowed to see it at a very young age. The rating didn't matter.
I like that.
Me
Only
too.
Child privilege.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But we stayed away from the spooky.
Yeah. It was really always like spooky movies, sometimes too spooky. Ooh. That took some getting over, like arachnophobia. Right. But made it out the other side. Yeah. Cinephile for it.
Yeah.
John Landis went on to like have
he a recovered.
Career. Yeah.
He
recovered.
Bounced back.
And
okay. Well,
did the damn thing. Let's see if Twilight Zone was a hit.
I'm sad for this one. And I don't even know how to grade it, because it's really heartbreaking and probably definitely could have been avoided.
The budget was about $10 million. It ended up grossing like $29 million.
Oh.
So did well. Now it's so funny, like those numbers sound really low.
Yeah, for $10 million to make a movie theater anthology.
I know.
Wow.
But yeah, I would rate on the scale of cursedness, mm-hmm. I think that's a high curse.
Yeah. But it's also in the sheesh category. Sheesh Rising.
It's an A+ curse, like A+ lore and curse and absolute tragedy. So it fires on a lot of levels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Next up is another scary, The Exorcist.
which the whole movie was based off of, or loosely based off of, an actual 1949 exorcism that took place in Washington, D.C. And this 14-year-old boy was allegedly possessed by a demon. And I think you're already in cursed territory when you're pulling from actual exorcism events.
Yeah, I mean, I believe in demonic possession and like that certain people are susceptible to like demon grips. So that's just something I'd be like, I'm not going to mess with that. It would be fun to write about it creatively and stuff, but it also is just intense. And if you watch that movie, which I did this time last year, I was like, it's time to revisit The Exorcist, or I did within the last year. It's just like, has such an palpable, uneasy feeling in it that it's hard to believe that during the making of a movie like that, there wouldn't be some sort of like paranormal cursed energy.
It sort of tracks, but at the same time. So there were a few different incidents.
There was a freak fire. One of the sets burned down after a bird flew into a circuit box. And the only part of the set that survived was like the bedroom where the exorcisms take place. There were back injuries. Ellen Burstyn suffered a spinal injury while being hoisted around on a harness. And then like afterwards, Linda Blair, who played Reagan, the little demonically possessed girlie, she had a lot of accidents like after the movie. And it just seemed like, I think I'm sensing a pattern here, and I wonder if this holds for many of the other movies. But I think when you have a director who is not listening to their actors, or is very like my way or the highway about things, and because that's like such a powerful like position to be in, and then also like the ego of certain directors and like their vision just takes hold, and it's like they become like the demon. But I feel like that is good breeding ground for like a cursed production.
Ego to mm-hmm. be ego. Also, there were two actors who played roles in the film. They died shortly after their scenes were completed. It was Jack McGowan, who played Burke Dennings, died of the flu. And then the person who played Father Karras's mother passed away before the film's release. And they were unrelated to the film, but still spooky. Still something to like add to the list.
Yeah.
Oh, and then on top of that, there were reports of audience members fainting, vomiting, and having other extreme reactions to the film, which contributed to the cursed reputation of the movie.
But it also was like a huge box office slay.
Right. But it was also like a very, very graphic and disturbing content. So that could happen with anything. But I think compiled on one another, it just all added to the lore.
It did. It's another A+ lore.
A+ lore.
Yeah. I think it, and also when you think of it, it's like, was that one of the first movies that people were talking about audience reactions to it as far as like why you should go see it? Like, remember like when Blair Witch came out and Paranormal Activity, and they would point the cameras on the audience and you'd see people being like, no, and like that was supposed to be like, it's so scary, you have to come see this movie. Like, it was maybe one of the first to do it like,
yeah,
that.
They were like, they're shaky camera work, you're gonna feel like you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that a thing that they were like, you might feel nauseous because,
yeah, the Blair Witch one was really like, be careful, like you might get,
be careful, they're using a handheld.
Mm-hmm. And that was so overhyped, I thought, because then I saw it in theaters. I was like, what?
I believed the hype and stayed home.
I was like ready to just for absolute shock and awe. And then when I saw it, I was like, But then I watched it later on and realized what a masterpiece it really is. But
where are they now?
That's a good question.
It was a real one and done for the cast, huh?
Yeah, but I don't know if any of them were really actors. I hope they got crazy residuals.
I hope so too, but in this town?
Who knows? Okay, next we have Titanic.
Okay, I'm really learning stuff because I didn't know about any of this.
So James Cameron was a bit of a tyrant, I think, through this whole production, which is like honestly a little bit understandable because it was incredibly complicated.
Yeah.
They shot in Mexico for like months. There are some really good articles just talking about like how intense the shoot was and like Kate and Leo having to be in ice cold water for like hours at a time filming the sinking ship. It's no small undertaking.
No.
To make the Titanic.
That was a, and I mean, there was even leading up to that, the research. I mean, it was just a huge undertaking beyond anything I can imagine, especially for that time.
Definitely.
It was a real.
And the accomplishment of being like making a movie that is so epic, hits on every level, is like incredibly realistic. Great effects,
amazing,
great acting, great
soundtrack.
The soundtrack, impeccable.
Celine. Also, can I myth bust really quickly? There's a rumor out there that James Cameron is related to Julia Cameron, the author of The Artist's Way. And that is not
like what,
true.
Like cousins or something?
That they're brother and sister.
And no.
That's false. And I'm here to...
You're myth busting. Yeah. I like it. So... James was intense, but for some reason I like give him a pass because Titanic was so great and it seems like most everyone benefited hugely, except I guess like when you're a real dick to your entire production staff, that's where you're playing with fire, because someone allegedly got so pissed off at Jim that they decided to spike the clam chowder that was being served for
cast meal
with PCP, and then several people went to the hospital, people were tripping. James Cameron told Vanity Fair that the DP was leading a number of crew down the hall in a highly vocal conga line. It sounds kind of fun, but it also is like terrifying.
Did you see the movie Do Revenge?
No.
You should watch it. It's okay. Fun, but there's a similar scene in the movie where something like that happens.
I'm thinking of the Gaspar Noé movie Climax, which is an incredible movie, but it's also a true descent into madness where a dance troupe is like in the midst of rehearsing for like some big performance, and then someone spikes, they have like an after party and someone spikes their punch with LSD and it sends everyone like to the depths of madness, and it's like really scary but really amazing.
Okay. I have wanted to watch that.
It's pretty intense. I watched it.
Is it too intense?
It might be too intense.
Okay.
It's like it really goes there and like it's like scary.
My friends won't even let me see Midsommar. They're like, you can't handle it.
Okay, you cannot handle Climax. I don't know about like your movie proclivities so much, but hearing that
makes me stuff.
Yeah, I'm learning that you should definitely not watch Climax.
Okay.
I watched it and then I saw it in theaters, I think. And then I also, during COVID, I had found myself in possession of a gram of ketamine and had nothing better to do than just do ketamine alone for a period of time and like watch movies. And I watched that movie in a K-hole and I was like, holy shit. I was like, this is crazy.
We all had a ketamine corner.
Yeah.
Throughout the pandemic. If you didn't have like one day with a bout of ketamine.
If you didn't create like Lars's ketamine cave and watch like Criterion movies and be like, well, I'm learning so much and this is crazy. And then like not remember like what they even were talking about,
right.
Like what you learned. You weren't really living.
Right.
And it was a
suggestion for next time.
Yeah. I like the like hijinks of Titanic. I like someone that's, I like when someone's really type A about something, but then it turns out to be, well, it's like the Taylor Swift kind of thing.
Exactly. Like it prevailed.
Mm-hmm.
And it all panned out and it all worked out because they're still throwing that thing up in movie theaters and people are going to see it.
Oh, yeah.
And it still has a grip on my adolescent memories.
It's enduring. It's like a classic.
We were talking about before we were recording, like we both remember like who we saw it with, like that whole experience. We both saw it twice in the theater, cried my eyes out. It was just the biggest deal. It was such a culture vulture.
Yeah, I miss
in the best
simpler
way.
Times.
Yeah, in like a simple Celine Dion type of way.
Yeah. So that's a good like A plus. No one died.
No, and it really sounds like the curse really worked out for the best.
Yeah, and it was like, it was more just like a troubled artist like needing to really like create the vision and then achieved.
And then I think also like they went severely over budget, but again, it worked out in the end.
It's fine.
All good.
I know. This is like the best case scenario of like a creative endeavor is like if afterwards you do something of that magnitude.
Yeah.
I would say like Avatar Way of the Water is maybe a worst case creative endeavor.
I've never seen Avatar.
I have only seen the first one, but it didn't really do
know
much
thyself.
For me. And then the second one I was like, I don't care.
I just don't care. I'll watch Fern Gully and I'm all set.
Yeah, I get it. I would say another movie that's like on par with Titanic, but like maybe the 70s version of Titanic and one of my favorite like cursed movie productions is Apocalypse Now. It's a classic movie and it's another story of like an artist with a vision who will do whatever it takes to make this thing that could be like the end of his life, like the end of his career, the end, like his family suffering, like suffer. But then the final product is like
worth it
and success. And you like go on from there.
Also, I've never seen this one.
It's okay. It seems maybe not up your alley either. So Francis Ford Coppola took to the jungle with a lot of money and a ragtag crew and Martin Sheen and just decided I'm going to shoot this like war epic. And he cast Marlon Brando, but then Marlon Brando was in his, I think he was in his like fat ODD era. So it was like, will he or won't he show up? Like, what will his mood be? He was really like mercurial. And Martin Sheen had a heart attack. There's a really good documentary actually that talks about the trials and tribulations of this production and just like how difficult it was to make this movie. And then I think even like Martin Sheen in one scene, there's like a classic scene where he's like fucked up, like walking around his room, like smoking cigs and like tripping out. And I think he actually was like really fucked up in that scene. Like it kind of was like everyone descended into madness at the same time. And they went crazy over budget, way over shooting schedule. Coppola pulled through. And I think because of Apocalypse Now being a success, he got to then make more movies. And then we got Sofia Coppola in the mix.
And then we got Bling Ring.
Yeah. So it was all worth it after all.
All came out in the wash, really.
And he took his family like on the shoot with him. So they like his whole family was there, too, I believe, while all this like was going down.
That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
OK, how about a movie I've actually seen?
Let's do it.
The Wizard of Oz, a small niche production.
A great movie. Even better, I would say, have you ever done the Pink Floyd Wizard of Oz? That's crazy.
Yeah. Have you ever done it to 1989? Okay.
What if I want like a movie, like there needs to be something that links up like perfectly.
I know. That would be cool.
People are really missing out on the opportunity to like link something up perfectly to a movie.
Well, I feel like if anybody would do it, it would be
Taylor Swift to like Legally Blonde. I need them to do it to like, I need it to be like Pink Floyd Wizard of Oz level. Yeah.
Yes, I have done that. And I went to like a very white druggy high school. So yes, that was something that was kind of a mandatory experience.
A rite of passage, if you will. What was cursed about Wizard of Oz?
Okay. So first one, and since both Tony and Midas are here, we should cover their ears. So several of the Cairn Terrier dogs that were used to portray Toto in the film died early. And the urban legend is that they met an untimely death due to being wrapped up in the production.
That's sad.
I know.
Okay. Well, there go my hopes of maybe turning Tony into a show dog. By show dog, I mean showbiz dog.
I know. I've been trying to Kris Jenner Midas for the past 2 years.
I know, but he'll just have to
no leads yet.
Settle for being my pod dog.
So then there was like drama with the Munchkin actor behavior. There are reports that some of the Munchkin actors were engaging in inappropriate and rowdy behavior during the production, but it was more like individuals than like an actual curse, but it was just like led to some like lack of stability on set.
Wow.
Buddy Ebsen, who was originally cast as the Tin Man, had a severe allergic reaction to the aluminum-based makeup used for the character.
Oof.
This necessitated a recasting with Jack Haley.
Aluminum makeup?
Yeah.
Oof.
Not great.
Not great.
They're like, let's use actual tin in the paint. So Margaret Hamilton, who played the Wicked Witch of the West, suffered a severe burn during a scene where she disappears in a puff of smoke. The burn was the result of a copper-based makeup she was wearing, which caught fire.
Jesus.
Damn. This just seems like
no
they
wonder
were,
every like all the boomers are getting cancer.
They were just trying things out. They're trying to like really make some magic happen. And
this is also, yeah, like Hollywood, like the magic of movie making is not like this
trial
anymore,
and error.
Which is a good thing because you have far less like deaths and burns and allergic reactions probably than you did in the past. But I love the heyday. Didn't see Babylon, did you?
What do you think? At this point, what's
your
guess?
They had great scenes about making movies in the 20s, like how they made like war epics and just like the shit that they would do in order to like get the shot.
Yeah.
And there's something kind of cool about that, not in the sense that like people suffered and died, but like I think part of the glamour of Hollywood is that
the creativity
and like the desperation to get something that you will put people's lives in danger. You'll risk it all. You'll risk like financial whatever, and you take these huge risks and they either could flop and kill someone, or they could, you could make the Titanic.
Iconic.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, we'll just CGI it in post.
Yeah. Now it's like, we'll just make 50,000 Marvel movies.
Yeah. And then obviously this is the big one, the Hanging Munchkin, which, do you remember this when you were a kid?
Oh, the hanging body.
Yeah. So this is an urban legend.
But we saw it.
Yeah, you can see it. But I don't know if it was... The research I did, it says it's been debunked. As legend had it, the story goes that during the filming of the scene in the background of the movie, a little person actor committed suicide by hanging themselves. And apparently, I remember seeing this. Like, you could see it.
You could see a body hanging.
But then they're saying the legend likely arose due to a combination of factors, including misinterpretations of visual elements in the film, a misunderstanding of how the scene was filmed, and a desire to create sensationalized stories about production.
Don't gaslight us. In reality, I literally saw it.
We all saw it.
It's much like the boner in The Little Mermaid. We saw that too. We saw
those Disney Imagineers. Perverts. Yeah. So apparently they're saying that it was more likely to be a large bird, such as a crane flapping its wings in the background. No. The idea of a little person actor committing suicide on set is baseless and a harmful rumor with no factual basis. Allegedly, the film was carefully supervised and the well-being of the cast and crew was of top priority in the production, according to ChatGPT. But I say nay.
Nay. Absolute nay. It wasn't, because they were drugging Judy Garland the entire time.
Right. There's that too. Which Judy in that movie is
unreal.
Perfection. It is truly crazy to watch.
How old was she in that movie?
Young.
14?
17.
Wow.
1939. And then apparently there was an unusual and unseasonal snowstorm that took place that was just a freak snowstorm that just adds to the cursed lore.
In Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
But again, it's like got the Titanic syndrome. All worked out in the end.
Mm-hmm.
I'd still go see to the theater to see that movie.
Yeah, I mean,
that movie is perfect.
And takes place in Oklahoma, right?
Kansas.
Fuck.
But
that's
it's all
basic
the same,
knowledge.
Right?
Yeah, but I was like, it essentially is Oklahoma because it's the same diff.
Yeah. In my head, it's the same.
In my head, it was always in Oklahoma, but it is Kansas. But tornadoes rip through both.
That's right.
And probably Oklahoma more.
Yeah. I mean, kind of crazy. A+, though. The grade is just coming from a place of
the finished product.
Yeah.
Okay.
For this one.
I accept that. Let's talk about another scary.
Another Spooktober.
Mm-hmm. Poltergeist, which is one of my favorite horror movies of all time. It's so good. Have you seen it? No. There's a scene where the family is like they're in a house in kind of like a suburbs neighborhood that's like building houses, and they're building a pool in their backyard, but it's just like a mud pit. It's like been dug out, but it hasn't been finished. And then they're like really get consumed by having to deal with a poltergeist, which makes it hard to finish your pool. But during one of the like final climax scenes, the mother, Jo Beth Williams, falls into the swimming pool and it's like filled with corpses. And the rumor is that they used real skeletons in that pool scene. And a lot of people believe that this caused
a curse.
Yeah, which probably. And there were like a lot of tragic deaths afterwards, where like the little girl that played Carol Ann, Heather O'Rourke, died of like a mysterious bowel obstruction. After the final, Poltergeist was a huge hit and then spawned two sequels. And then after the third installment of the movie, Heather O'Rourke died. And then Dominique Dunn was murdered by her boyfriend. She played the older sister in the movies. It's like was the production, did it usher in a curse that then affected people after the fact? Not necessarily during the time.
Yeah. Well, that's really what happens with a curse. It has like a domino effect. Damn. That's so sad. Is Dominique Dunn, is her father Dominique Dunn, the author? Yeah, because I just remember him from the O.J. Simpson trial, because mm-hmm. he would like weigh in. That all makes sense.
Yeah.
I may not have seen many movies,
but you've watched some trials. Yeah. I'm just remembering that the last energy healing I had, my energy healer took a curse off of me.
Oh, that's right.
I totally forgot about that.
Did you feel different now that it's been some time has passed?
Let's see. That was in March and now we're in October. I would say I do, but I could use another wash cycle.
Yeah, we all could.
Yeah.
It's that time of year.
Mm-hmm. Poltergeist, A plus movie. I give the cursed element a D because I don't like that it had after effects and it was like specifically targeted to icons.
Right.
Gone too soon. Why not the men?
Yeah. Hmm. Exactly. Now let's go into another type of curse. An internet curse with the film Gili.
Gili was... how did the curse of Gili start?
I think everybody was...
too excited.
Benifer had oversaturated the market and people were like, no.
Yeah, so Ben Affleck, Jennifer Lopez get together, take the world by storm. Everyone lost their minds. I don't think I lost my mind over Benifer. I was like, this is fine, but it's also kind of annoying. Like, I would like to focus on other things, like with Love and Light. What's the big deal?
I think I was mid on Benifer. I remember the... do you remember the music video?
Yeah.
On the yacht and like the whole thing, and it was just like,
because that was TRL era, so yeah, you couldn't miss that. It.
This Is Me Then, that album.
I was just never one for... I never was like a huge Jennifer Lopez fan, like, yeah, of her music. I loved like just the songs that were on the radio, but like aside from that, I was neither here nor there. But Gili was them saying, we're going to star in a movie together that's going to be so major.
I think... here's what I think
happened.
We're
going to change the game.
I think it was height of paparazzi era, first and foremost. So the real time of filming that movie had so much attention on it and had so much press around it that by the time the movie was ready to come out, it just like wasn't able to live up to the hype.
Yeah. That's true. It was overhyped and they should have kept it way under wraps.
Right. And it underperformed in terms of it being watchable.
Because I never even saw it. And I would have probably seen it. Like, but then I just remember everyone being like, this is the worst movie of all time. And then it was one of those things where it just does become the worst movie of all time, even if it's not that bad. Which I'll bet that it was probably fine.
Yeah, I mix it up with... is it Jersey Girl?
You're mixing it with Jersey Girl, which is a totally different movie. But I like where your head's at, because Jersey Girl, a Kevin Smith movie, was a frequent collaborator of Ben Affleck's.
Right.
And that's a really good movie.
And then I feel like since this movie...
And J-Lo and Ben Affleck were in Jersey Girl, right, together, but not like...
she dies at the beginning of that, yeah, one, and then it's him and Liv Tyler.
And his daughter that he had with J-Lo.
And then Gili is Jennifer also, I think she plays a lesbian, so it's sort of Chasing Amy coded.
Mm.
And it's just like trying to do something that already happened a little bit.
Yeah, it's just like you can't overhype something.
It didn't land well.
Because then people are going to be exhausted by it by the time that it's actually ready to come out and you need people to be like buying it.
I blame X17.
Yeah.
The paparazzi agency.
I know. And all the publicists and the publicity. I think that they probably went in being like, this will help. Like, this is the sell point. We should lean into this. But then... realized like we've exhausted the goodwill of our, yeah, public, and now the critics are going to destroy us and destroy any chance.
And I bet Perez Hilton played a role in it.
Well, what year did it come out?
And probably, do you remember Pink Is the New Blog? Oh, no, yeah. They didn't. All of them were up on the discourse and probably led to this film's demise.
It was 2003 when it came out. So this was even before Perez. This was way pre-Perez, I think.
Was it? 2001.
I mean, the writer and director never worked again. Never made another film.
No.
Which sucks cursed. For him. He bore the brunt of the curse.
It didn't recoup its budget.
No, it was $75 million budget and it made $7 million. It was a true flop.
Flippity flop flop.
But.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
That it.
But I feel like maybe it would be kind of good because. Kind of like mobster movie, which I do like.
Of all the movies that we've gone through, this is the one I would go back to.
The one you would go see.
Most my speed.
You're like, please reconsider.
Wow. Well, I give it an A.
For the firestorm. And I guess maybe you would say the only person that truly got cursed in the process was Martin Brest, the writer and director.
Mm-hmm.
J-Lo and Ben Affleck found each other again, and now it's happily ever after for them.
It added to the lore in a nice way.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild that they got back together after all these years.
I know, it's crazy. That not only back together, like married.
Love is not dead.
For them. Wait, let's talk about a movie that's just like, this truly seems like a strange synchronistic curse. I've never heard of this movie, but it's called Atuk, and it's so cursed it never got made. It's based on a 1963 Mordecai Rickler novel about an Eskimo in New York and had four different men attached to play the lead while it was in development through the 70s and 80s. And the guys that were attached to play the lead role, John Belushi, Sam Kinison, John Candy, and Chris Farley all died shortly after entering negotiations to be in the film.
Spooky.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Peak spook.
I like this because it is just like something's up with that.
Yeah. And
like,
I don't
what's
have to,
going on?
And I don't have to feel bad about not having seen it because it never got made.
Yeah. You can be an expert in this field.
Wow. A for spooky, but
S for sad.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Should we talk about another movie that the internet took hold of and just fucking shot down?
Yes. And I've seen it. So.
I've seen it too, and it wasn't that bad.
I liked it.
It was like, it was a fun, it was a solid B, B plus.
A good at home watch.
Yeah.
Don't Worry, Darling.
So this movie,
we remember it like it was yesterday.
I was really excited coming off of, I was excited just based on the premise because I knew it was going to be kind of like a Stepford Wives, like there's something sinister afoot. I liked the idea of Harry Styles.
Well, first it was cast with Shia LaBeouf.
Oh my God, it was. And he actually would have been better.
Maybe.
He definitely would have been better. Harry Styles, he's many things. An actor, he is not.
Fair. Started with Shia LaBeouf as the lead man character. There was some on-set drama.
Mm-hmm.
First curse.
Yeah.
He was let go of the project.
Yeah.
Harry Styles comes on as a replacement.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the attention grabs hold of the Larrys and the Harrys out there because Harry begins a relationship with Olivia Wilde, who is directing and also has a bit part in the film. So all of a sudden, the internet is ablaze with attention on this project. Curse number two.
Mm-hmm. Then it comes time for the movie to come out, and suddenly Florence Pugh is nowhere to be found. She's like not really supporting the movie. She's like leaving early. She's not attending premieres, and she's being like cagey and shady about things. And then wasn't there also someone leaked like,
oh,
the voicemail?
No, there was a video that Olivia, as the director, had sent to Shia, sort of trying to just iron out what was going on set. And that got leaked right before the movie premiered. And she's basically, and that's where the famous Miss Flo came from, because she refers to Florence as Miss Flo.
Okay.
And it's basically Olivia trying to, so Olivia had said in an interview that basically on set, this is as I remember it, on set, Shia wasn't creating like a good work environment, so he was let go.
Yeah, he was being Shia LaBeouf.
And then there's this leaked video of her sort of kind of
asking him to stick around.
Exactly.
And so it was like, oh, is she lying or is she telling the truth? Is she a friend to woman or a foe to woman?
And to me, it's just like, seems like she was just doing her job and trying to like create peace on, which was probably a difficult situation.
Well, and also it's like taken completely out of context, I'm sure. And then it's like, you don't really know what the conversation is leading up to or around that. You just know what you're seeing, which is someone kind of making like a cringeworthy plea, right, to an also, unstable man.
Who would release that?
I can think of one person.
Ms. Pugh.
Ms. Pugh. So rumor has it that Ms. Pugh and Harry had an dalliance prior to his relationship with Olivia. And the real reason that Olivia and the movie became cursed and that Ms. Pugh wasn't around is because she was really mad that Harry went with Olivia instead of her. So I think there was like beef between Ms. Wilde and Ms. Pugh.
And then
shots were fired.
And then we are at the Venice Film Festival premiere.
Oh my God, I forgot about this. This is also like, I'm sorry, in the scope of everything we've talked about with curses and stuff, the curses become more and more lame over time. And then it's like, we're talking about just like FaceTime videos.
Internet drama.
Like we went from like Apocalypse Now where they're filming in like active war zones and getting their like helicopters taken back by like the Philippine government to go like fight in a war, to like Chris Pine spit on Harry's lap at the premiere.
Did he or didn't he?
Did he or didn't he spit?
Which, Spitgate?
As a culture, we have fallen.
Yeah, no shit.
Hugely.
Well, don't worry, darling, because allegedly Spitgate was for naught. And
what was the spit?
Apparently it was just
gum.
No, there was no spit.
But then what did we see? This is like the hanging.
this is hanging.
Wizard of Oz gate. Yeah.
For sure. Hold on. Let's watch the spit.
We saw something fall. I don't think he spit on him, even though it looked like he did.
No, he definitely didn't. But
I mean, like, truly bold if so. Did they like each other or no?
Yeah, I think they're fine with each other. Okay.
Oh, it was Harry spitting on Chris. See, also this drama is so like mid that I forget all the details.
Okay. Handsome men. Da 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 da. Right there. So what it looks like to me, if I were to dissect
this. You know what it is? Go back again. I would like, this is like we're watching the assassination of JFK like over and over. I think I know what it was.
Okay, so we have Harry's cheeks go inward as if he's projecting something out of his mouth. Chris then looks down like he's realizing something. And those two things in motion, in tandem, look like a spit and a, dude, but what the fuck? You just spit on me.
Harry's collar that he's wearing is like extremely long and pointy and flappy. So when he looks down, you see his flappy collar kind of flopping, and it looks right here like something's coming out of his mouth. And that coupled with the like sudden look
cheeks,
down.
Look down. Yeah, no, he's doing like a femme Gucci 70s thing.
Yeah.
Classic Harry Styles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he spit.
No, he didn't spit.
But again, the internet, too much time, tale as old as time.
Internet is divided over if Harry Styles spit.
Stop what you're doing.
God. But then the movie did well, right? In the box office?
Okay. So the budget was $35 million and it made $86.7 million, including $45.3 million domestic. And then whatever it did, because it's on Netflix now. So I'm sure there was, I'm sure they're making a few cents on that.
All right.
Dollar or two.
Yeah. Not a total bust.
Not a total bust.
Not a huge win.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked it. It was like a Black Mirror episode.
Right.
Like,
not that I've ever seen Black Mirror. No, I've seen it. I've seen it.
But like, it was, I went in with like the lowest of low expectations and then was pleasantly surprised, which is kind of just how you should approach everything in life. So it
absolutely
was fine.
Rule of thumb.
And the drama was so non-iconic that I actually realized that I forgot about all the drama and like misremembered it, and it was like neither here nor there.
Yeah. But Florence Pugh, Ms. Flo, right now with her blonde Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives look, she's giving full Dorinda.
I'm not a fan of the short hair. I would like her very much to get back to acting ASAP.
Mm-hmm. And I think she's about to announce a cooking show.
I would love for her to not do that.
Yeah.
And I would like for her to do something else in the vein of like Midsommar or...
Wouldn't know, haven't seen it.
Lady Macbeth. Like, I need the edgy roles to come back.
Okay.
Because that was where I entered Ms. Pugh's universe. And I was hugely into that version of her.
Okay, so I'm going to give this one a C for celebrity obsession needs to simmer down.
I'm going to give it a D for don't care.
Don't care, darling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wait, oh, one that's not even on here that we have to talk about.
What?
Speaking of recent curse sets, Rust.
A total cursed movie. A movie that's so cursed, it should have been over, but yet is still happening. And I'm like, how could this even, like, who is going to see this?
You're like, how you say
curse? So Rust is the Western movie starring Alec Baldwin, where he unfortunately shot the cinematographer with a gun he didn't know was loaded, and he killed her. And has he been acquitted of that? All I know is that Rust is like, it went back to filming and then is allegedly going to come out.
So they found that he pulled the trigger, which he would originally, Alec Baldwin said that he didn't. He was like, I didn't touch it. It just went off.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, so it resumed production in April. I feel like that's a wrap on the Rust movie. Like, I don't.
Yeah, I think once you, also, like, who wants to see that period?
I don't know if anyone wanted to see that movie from the jump.
I certainly don't want to see it now.
I definitely don't want to see it now.
It seems like non-essential, and like it would just be a streaming movie, or it would just be a movie that like comes out randomly in China.
Right. Very that. I saw, because you know, there's like just this vitriol for Ilaria.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw one unhinged anti-Ilaria fan being like, she did this. She made him have all these kids. So he has to keep working and make these movies. And he had to go do a Western movie with real guns. It's her fault.
I love that mindset. And I'm actually here for just blaming everything that's wrong in the world on Ilaria Baldwin. And I think if you gave her haters a chance to do that, they could link her back to every like disaster that's ever happened.
They're pros.
They would gladly.
Yeah. Well, also to link it back, this is our second discourse around Alec Baldwin and Ilaria, because the first one was Sarma from Bad Vegan and our cursed restaurant or restaurant drama. What did we call it? Restaurant scandals.
Yeah.
So our restaurant scandals episode where we talked about the Food and Wine, Sarma, Bad Vegan of it all, she introduced them.
A lot of
curses. I just love an Easter egg, full circle, too niche moment. So I have to
shout
flag it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's not going to go to jail. I'm sorry, I'm not. This is spur of the moment. Didn't look into it, but I believe that they found he pulled the trigger, but I feel like his lawyers are keeping him out of jail, which I don't know. Like, it's so heartbreaking that a woman just like doing her job, like at the top of her profession, would that something like that would happen.
Yeah, it's really sad, but I also don't know what good sending Alec Baldwin to jail for life or like 20 years would do for anyone.
He has a lot of mouths to feed. So.
Yeah, he certainly does.
He should just be sent off to make westerns.
I think
for
actually
Asia.
Making him work on the movie after literally killing someone, like point blank shooting them, is punishment enough.
I agree.
I give that one a B.
I give it a B for bad. Bad Baldwin.
The Crow I haven't seen, which is weird. Like, I should see that because it seems up my alley as far as like spooky movies are concerned. And it's another, I think, accidentally shot person on a movie set.
The Crow is a 1994 American dark fantasy action film directed by Alex Proyas, starring Brandon Lee in the lead role. And on March 31st, 1993, a little over a week before the film was set to wrap, Brandon Lee, who played the lead character, Bruce Lee's son, side note, was filming a scene where his character gets shot. In the scene, his character was supposed to be shot with a revolver loaded with blanks. Unfortunately, a piece of debris from a dummy round that had been lodged into the barrel of the gun was dislodged, and the blank round was fired, creating enough force to strike Brandon Lee in the abdomen.
I'm sorry, like, how do you accidentally have, like, a loaded gun or, like, a round of a bullet in a gun on a movie set? Whoever's in charge of that, they're the ones that need to be like carted off,
right?
Because like, it's pretty easy to like look at a gun and make sure it doesn't have any bullets in it.
It's so sad. I can't imagine anything more awful. Okay, so here's where it gets a little cryptic. So Bruce Lee, Brendan Lee's father, died of an edema in 1973 when he was 32 years old. But Brandon reportedly believed that his father was killed by the Triads, an Asian mafia with ties to the Hong Kong and Taiwan film industries. So there's a little bit of discourse around if there was a similar plot towards Brandon.
Wow.
According to Inside Edition. .com.
Oof. Sad.
The Crow went on to make more than $50 million in the box office and spawned a series of sequels as well as a short-lived television series. So not a flop.
Not a flop, but sad generational trauma lore.
Deeply.
Yeah. two hotties lost too soon. Nothing sadder than that.
Nothing more cursed than that. Okay, wait, really quickly, this coming Saturday, I am hosting a virtual online vision boarding workshop. All are welcome, with my dear friend and amazing wellness leader in the space, Kelsey Patel. This is a method that I do pretty much every month or anytime I'm working on a project or really trying to sculpt goals. I sit down and I do this really fun exercise using Pinterest and Canva, and it becomes the background of my phone and my computer. And I'm really excited to teach all who are interested. If you use the code NICHE, then you'll get $15 off to join. And I'm going to link it in the show notes.
I love.
You're going to be there.
I'll be there. Canva,
open.
Ready to go.
Pinterest, open.
Mm-hmm. I Pinterest so hard.
Me too.
Low-key private Pinteresting all the time.
Oh, only alias Pinterest.
If you guys had access to my Pinterest boards, you'd be so lucky. But they're for my eyes only.
For British eyes only. Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening. And
until next time,
stay niche.
Bye.
Too Niche is created and hosted by Laura Marie Shainhalls and me, Elizabeth Cott.
Today's episode was edited by AJ Mosley. If you love today's episode, please give us a 5-star A+ rating in Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast audio. And be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And be sure to smash the follow on Instagram and TikTok at this_is_too_niche.
One of my favorite big ticket investment items is from Higher Dose. From infrared sauna blankets to PEMF mats, their science-backed tech helps you sweat and recharge and glow like never before. I am such a fan. I truly lie on my PEMF mat every night. I also love my sauna blanket. They are just incredible items. And because you're a Too Niche listener, you get 15% off your order with code NICHE15 at checkout. So head over to higherdose.com, use code NICHE15, and elevate your wellness routine today.